Hi, my name is Amy Reinicke, and I'm here to help you learn to love your body well. Love Your Body Well is a podcast designed to encourage women to find the beauty in caring for their bodies without obsession, guilt, and shame. We are ditching the perfection mindset and embracing the season of life you are in, all while figuring out what works best for you on your wellness journey. Join me for weekly episodes as we navigate this journey together, and let's start a revolution of women who are focused on wellness while also being compassionate and kind to their bodies. Are you ready to love your body well? Welcome back to the Love Your Body Well podcast. Today, I get to bring on a friend of mine, Kathleen McCune, and I'm very excited about this opportunity to talk to her and Tim DeWeese. And it's so interesting how people come into your life and you just feel like they've always been there. And that is who Kathleen is to me. We actually were neighbors for a brief moment in time. When they moved in, I knew that I was moving within a few short months, but I felt a connection to Kathleen right away. And she has just been a light in our lives for the last couple of years. And I'm very excited that she is here today with Tim to talk about building resiliency. So Kathleen and Tim, welcome to the Love Your Body Well podcast.
Thank you, Amy.
Thanks.
So I want you two to introduce yourselves a little bit. I think I really don't want to mess that up. I said that before I hit record because they are truly impactful individuals. And I just want to make sure that people understand the gift that you are today on this episode. So Kathleen, how about you start and tell my community a little bit about you?
Thank you, Amy. It's such a pleasure to be on. And I felt the same way when we met, both you, your husband, your pup dog, but mostly to your three children. So thank you for being part of our lives and letting me be part of your all's lives. I'm one of the co-founders and CEO of Team Tech. We are based in Shawnee, Kansas. We do strategic facilitation across the state of Kansas and also now a bit outside of Kansas. But what brings me here today is a project that my sisters and I started in April of 2017 when I first heard about trauma, about ACEs, adverse childhood experiences, and the importance of building resilience. And it suddenly helped me realize that the childhood home that my sisters and I had grown up in was not at all normal, and that the neuroscience of trauma had a lot to teach us about both why we were having a lot of chronic health conditions and also how we had been able to break our multi-generational cycle of incest, abuse, and neglect. So from that, we authored a book, Remarkably Resilient: Community Matters, and then have since developed a campaign that we just launched with Tim, his organization, called Remarkably Resilient Together. So that's what brings me here today, both the neuroscience of trauma and how it informed our lived experience, myself and my twin sisters.
And so again, my name's Tim DeWeese, and I'm the director of Johnson County Mental Health Center. And I've worked for Johnson County for nearly 27 years and was appointed the director by the Board of County Commissioners back in October of 2014 and have been in that position ever since. Kathleen and I have partnered on several things, from leadership to looking at how we can impact the community in different ways. And so when she reached out, or when we talked about the possibility of partnering on this project and really looking at how we can build a community that is more resilient, and I didn't hesitate. You know, from my experience, the fact is that so many things that impact us, you know, our lives, and the fact that we just went through a global pandemic. But you take that aside, you think about all the pressures that are placed upon us from outside forces. When you think about the things that technology place upon us, social media in particular, it can create a lot of trauma in individuals' lives. And I personally think that so many mental health issues are rooted at the basis of us not being able to regulate our own emotions. And so when we started talking about how we could be more resilient, how we could teach ourselves and others around us to be more resilient, it was like, for me, it was a no-brainer.
I love that you two have partnered together to create the awareness, because I think awareness is our first step. I think awareness and what is going on. Why are we feeling the way that we're feeling? Because a lot of times, especially, we just feel overwhelmed. We don't know why we feel overwhelmed. We don't know why we can't get things under control. And when we understand that there's a root cause to that overwhelm, then I think that's when healing can truly begin and start to happen. So thank you for creating this. As I was going through the materials that we're going to talk about today, I was just blown away that a lot of times, you know, we hear like nervous system regulation and figuring out like how to calm yourself down and all that. And that's all great and fine, but how do you do it? Like, what are the steps to help us feel better? How can we do that? And being able to help all people have the opportunity to heal in that way, I think is really important. So let's kind of dive into this thing that you created, which is Remarkably Resilient Together. Let's hear a little bit about this campaign. We know why now you did this, but tell us a little bit about how this helps people.
Absolutely. The campaign is designed to target to individuals, employers, schools, parents, helping agencies, all to, as you said, Amy, raise awareness about the importance of resilience and to, at this point, reveal one of the key building blocks of resilience, and that is emotional regulation and self-care. So what we've designed is a reflective journal that has the opening third is information about trauma, about the human stress response, triggers, regulation, dysregulation, defining self-care, what that looks like, maybe how that compares to wellness. And then the back two-thirds are designed to be used with the decks of cards that we've provided. So you have one deck of 52 cards we call In the Moment, and those are 52 techniques to get re-regulated. So when you get dysregulated, that is, you're not quite feeling yourself, maybe you're quick to temper, you're a little bit off, you're going to withdraw, then we give you 52 ways, of which maybe half of those speak to you, but we hope at least that. You begin then to say, I'm going to use that card to get regulated the next time I'm feeling myself get dysregulated. And then we have another deck of cards we call Over Time. That deck of cards provides you with 52 ideas for self-care practices. That is, how do you keep your resilience cup from running dry? That is, having a full resilience cup. And we'd like to talk about, Tim and I, that you are just a more resilient individual when you're emotionally regulated and you have a full resilience cup. And that allows you that resilience to weather better those ups and downs that life brings your way, because they do. And when we're regulated and we have full resilience cups, we just have a better opportunity of weathering those.
Yeah.
For me, the most important piece that really resonated with me when Kathleen first taught me about Remarkably Resilient Together was the third word, together. And to me, it is central in that you're not alone in this thing we call life, and it's a process. But even more so, it gets us back to what I believe is one of the things that we've lost within our communities, and that is the healing power of human connection. Mm-hmm. And so we can't overcome anything without other people who believe in us, who stand by us, and who support us. And we can't be that for other people if we are not taking care of ourselves, if we are not healthy, and if we, like Kathleen said, if our resiliency cup is not full ourselves. And so it's really, for me, it's about not only as a mental health professional and as a person that, you know, has a number of staff in various capacities working with other folks, it does us no good if our staff aren't resilient, if they don't have that resiliency cup full. They can't be the type of helper that they could be when that is full. And so I think that's what brought me to Kathleen in this effort, was really that it made sense that we would have to work on becoming resilient, but that we do this together. We do this as a community. We do this because that human connection has amazing healing power. And I believe that we have lost some of that through a number of different reasons. But I think the more we can focus on developing authentic human relationships with one another, the more we're able to support one another.
Absolutely. I do not believe that we are created to do life alone. I mean, I believe that we were created to do life together. So I love that you really focused on that piece. And I think that you're so right. I think we live in a day and age that everybody's on their phone all the time, they're on social media, and we're the most connected that we've ever been, but we're the loneliest that we've ever been. And that's really scary. Honestly, as a mom with three young kids, that's really scary to help them understand, like, this is how you talk to people. It's not just via text message. We need to learn how to have conversations with people. That's something that I'm always trying to do because they're so used to like texting and things like that. And we need to learn how to come alongside someone, physically alongside someone, and say, I'm here to support you. I'm here to help you through this. And then also not just us being there for other people, but when other people need to come in into our lives and support us, that we know how to accept that support as well.
And I think that's one of the amazing things that you see with the cards is that what Kathleen talked about is the first deck is really focused on ourselves. And the second deck, when you start to look at ongoingly or looking at how you do this over the long haul, really, as you flip through those cards, it's really about connecting with other people. So I think what's beautiful about the card decks is that the first deck is really focused on individually what you can do and how you can really develop good coping strategies. And the second deck, over time, it really focuses on how then you can look to connect with others. So it's really about that connection and that connecting with other people. So I think that is another piece that I think is really important is that, yeah, we can do things right off the bat to regulate ourselves, but that on the long haul, we need to have other people around us.
Yes. I have a deck of cards right in front of me here. So I'm just going to read a couple. I think that would be really helpful for people to understand exactly. So right now I have the In the Moment deck, and I'm just going to read a couple of things. Recite a positive mantra in your mind. Pause, take a moment to connect with and notice your breath. Slow down your breathing. Do something rhythmic and repetitive, like tapping your toes. State the need to take a break when the group is dysregulated. Slow down, pause, think about consequences before you act. So this is like an in the moment, like you feel dysregulated. Like Kathleen said, you might feel like your temper is quicker, like you have a quicker fuse. This is an immediate resource that you can go to and say, okay, I need encouragement here at this moment in time, because we can't always call a friend or we don't always want to like bring somebody right in the middle of our mess. And so that's how these cards can help support you. And then the over time cards that I have here, some of the ideas here are gather together and share a meal, work out regularly with a friend in person or virtually, create a circle of trust, like a safe friend group, meet new people, make a needed change one step at a time. So those are just some ideas that they are providing in these. I've actually looked through all of them. They are so simple, but I think that that's something that we need to shed some light on here. They are not saying that to build resiliency, you have to make these huge epic changes in your life. It's usually one small shift or one small thing that you can do in order to create that resiliency within yourself.
You know, Amy, I think one of the things that when we talk about building resilience or developing coping strategies or regulating your emotions, one of the things that I think is really important that we focus on is that we're going to experience, you know, difficult times. We're going to experience barriers within our life. And what we can do, and sometimes we don't even have control of that. Many times we don't. But what we do have control of is how we respond to those situations. And so when people react to situations, they're reacting from an emotional base and they're emotional. And so what we're saying with those, you know, take a breath, you know, tap yourself, you know, take a moment and breathe deep. What we're doing is really allowing ourselves to actually, through our brain chemistry, and Kathleen can talk a little bit about that, we can begin to move from reacting to responding. And by responding to a situation, what that means is that we're intentional about how we move forward. And mm-hmm. those are the kinds of things we can control. And so when we are able to manage our emotions and respond to situations, we're going to have much better outcomes than when we're simply just reacting.
Absolutely.
That's so true, Tim. And I think for my sisters and I, when we ran into the neuroscience of trauma, it was one of those things that called to us because the neuroscience does explain so much of the why and the how. And just what you said is when we get emotionally dysregulated, you get triggered, which isn't maybe as severe as that strong emotional dysregulation. Your thinking moves very quickly to your more emotional brain or even your survival brain. And we all know that when we say things or make decisions from those parts of our brain, sometimes we regret that. And if we just take that moment to pause, or sometimes you need an overnight. When my son, my 22-year-old son and I sometimes have those conflicts, we both now say to one another, we're dysregulated, and we'll come back to the conversation. But sometimes we need overnight, a 24 hours, because your brain doesn't necessarily immediately switch. But once you get regulated, the wonderful part is you have access now to your frontal lobe, that prefrontal cortex, where your logic and reasoning can come in, and you have a better chance at a win-win interaction as opposed to a lose-lose. And I really think about that now as a parent, as a mom. Do I value this relationship? And if the answer is yes, then I want a win-win, which means it is out of a position of strength, not weakness, which is I was raised where you were weak if you backed away. You were then preyed on if you backed away. You have a position of strength when you step away, you get regulated, and you come back, because you have a win-win opportunity there. I just think that's so important, that different kind of mindset. That was hard for me at first, but I've seen kind of the wonder of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's really important. And I think that how we were raised plays a really big role in that, quite honestly. If we had a parent that was very reactive instead of responsive, then that's just our go-to. And that can be really hard to rewire that, quite honestly. And I think it can feel like that uphill battle of this thing that we're trying to overcome, because, you know, likely if we were raised in a situation like that, we see the fault in it, especially if your spouse is different in the way that they respond to things. So I think just once again, that self-awareness is really key. And how do we want to feel? And being really honest about that. Do we want this win-win? And I would say if that person, or even that person or that circumstance, if it's important to you, ideally, we do want a win-win, right? I mean, that feels better to everyone involved, is to have the win-win. So that needs to be the focus. And I think it just takes that self-awareness and that ability to look inside and say, okay, how can I show up differently in order to make this a win-win situation?
Yes, Amy.
I think, you know, Amy, that's a really good point. And I think that is another issue that, again, I see within our community that continues to concern me, is that we don't look for the win-win. We don't look for the compromise. Everything that we promote is, in almost in all situations, is that you win. That you win, in some cases, at all costs. You know, we've lost this whole notion of trying your best to, you have to be the best. And so that then impacts us from social media and from technology and from just all the pressures that come to us and come upon our kids, is that, you know, they lose sight of the fact that in most situations, you can find a beneficial solution for both parties. And that is something that I think we have to get back to.
I would agree. And I just agree. I think that we've definitely lost some sight of that. I think that we've learned to like pick a side and like stand your ground. And while I think that there are times that that's important, at the end of the day, like we just said, like we are created for connection with people. And we have to remind ourselves that everyone is fighting their own battle. It might not be very visible on the outside to what people are going through, but I can say without a doubt, just being in this space for as long as I have been, everyone is fighting a battle of some sort. I don't know anybody who isn't like going through something. And so I think it's just identifying that as a community and as a whole, we need to come alongside people, meet them where they are in that moment in time, and look for that win-win solution. And quite honestly, if you're surrounded by people who are not looking for that same solution, then that could be a whole nother podcast, but creating those boundaries in order to protect yourself, in order to be able to be resilient and take care of yourself, I think is really important too.
Yes. And a couple of the cards, Amy, come right at that, setting healthy boundaries. And it's a nice preview to February of 2024. And that is Tim and I, together, organizations will be rolling out all five R's of resilience. And coming next, no surprise, will be the importance of relationships and support systems. So just what we're talking about here, building on the connection piece we started in regulation, really self-care in particular, regulation connecting with yourself, self-care connecting both with yourself and others, but building on that in the second R of relationships and support systems. So it's a nice bridge to what you're talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you need a reset? Probably not the kind of reset you're thinking of. I don't have a quick fix, but I do have something that can help you create a foundation of self-love and appreciation for your body and your wellness journey. I created an ebook, Love Your Body Well, The Reset, with you in mind. If your mindset needs a reset and you need to learn how to tune into your body and what it needs, this ebook is for you. I share how mindset, nourishment, and habits are the building blocks to learning to love your body well. There are interactive worksheets and prompts to help you understand where you are currently and how your mindset can shift and improve, and you can get it today for only $5. You can find the link to the Love Your Body Well Reset ebook in my show notes, and my hope is that it is the first step in your healing journey. So for the sake of this podcast and wellness as a whole, I talk a lot about loving your body well and about loving your right now body. How do you guys feel like trauma and mental health and resilience kind of play into this topic?
See it a couple ways, Amy. One is just from a definitional standpoint, we think about trauma as any, I love the SAMHSA definition. So the SAMHSA definition, Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration, talks about the three E's of trauma. It's related to any event or series of events that's experienced, your second E, by an individual as physically or emotionally harmful or life-threatening and that has lasting adverse effects on that individual. And so sometimes, as we've talked, body image can be tied to previous trauma, whether it was on an ongoing basis or just even a few times. So comments people made, if you were bullied, the way that social media portrays us, those can be very traumatic. And understanding the root cause nature of trauma, as you said earlier in the podcast, to help us learn how to heal, definitely, I think, helps us tie back to where sometimes we get our body image challenges. I think the other part in resilience, the most important question that was flipped for my sisters and myself was the question that the neuroscientists, the researchers, the physicians, these amazing individuals that are doing this work said, we must shift the question from what's wrong with me to what happened to me. And so I know Sharon and Karen and I spent a lot of time, you know, what's wrong with us, because we kept having, you know, maybe obesity, diabetes, multiple sclerosis, just lots of health issues. And we suddenly realized, no, it's what happened. And going back and saying it happened, it's not an excuse for us. We certainly wouldn't choose it, nor would we choose it again, but it happened. Now it's our role to learn to manage it. And that's where that piece of resilience. So I know in all three of us girls, we've had some body image challenges throughout in very different ways, but a lot of that tied back to trauma. And then resilience helping us, again, be able to weather it. So that's kind of how I see that link to body image.
Yes. Have you, and you may have read this book, I read the book by Bruce Perry, What Happened to You? Conversations yes. on Trauma, Resilience, and Healing. And I found that book to be very insightful. And I think a lot of times, those of us who have struggled with body image, we take on the responsibility of feeling that way, when in fact, it is likely something that we have experienced in our life that has led us to that conclusion that our body is not good enough, or our body has to change in order to be good. And I'm not saying we always need to like pass the buck, you know, but I think that there is something to be said about Once again, self-awareness. What has happened to me instead of what is wrong with me? And I think oftentimes people in this wellness space, they say that. I've been known to say that, just to be honest. Like, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with my body? And instead asking yourself that question, because just when you say those two things out loud, what happened to me or what happened to you versus what's wrong with you or what's wrong with me, you can just feel the difference in your body when you're saying it. It just feels different. And it's one that comes with more empathy when you ask what happened. It's actually feeling curious about what's going on instead of wanting to place blame. And I think when we can be aware and we can be curious, that is when we can really come into this place of healing, not just for us, but for those that we impact as well. Like, I have three small kids, so I go about things in a little bit different way as I continue in this work and continue helping people in this area. I can approach them differently. I can think about how I can help them be more self-aware and take responsibility, but also be very empathetic with themselves and their bodies as it changes and grows.
I absolutely agree, Amy. I think Sharon and Karen and I almost can't put into words the weight that was lifted that we carried on our shoulders. It took us 55 years to talk about what we had been through in our childhood home and even carried on after. Just the weight of that lifting and that shame and that blame and that guilt, that heaviness went away with that one question. And then as we dove into, as you've done, better understand that neuroscience of trauma. And Dr. Bruce Perry is one of the first people I heard speak on this and just changed my world, just changed my worldview. It's truly priceless, as they say often in commercials.
Yeah, I'm glad that you've had that experience, Kathleen, and that you've been able to kind of release some of that and then use your pain for purpose. I think that that's a really important thing that we can do for others who might be going through something similar. Or it doesn't even need to be the exact same thing, but it's just, we've all had trauma in one way or another. And to be able to, like we've talked about this entire time, having that connection and allowing us to create those connections with people and say, you don't have to do this alone. And I don't want you to feel alone in this, I think is just really important.
Yes. Thank you, Amy.
So in these cards, there is also a card for the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline. And Tim, I would like for you to tell us a little bit more about this resource and who and when someone might need to use that.
So yeah, the Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is 988. And again, last year through federal legislation, they created a 3-digit number for anyone that need to reach out for help. So there really is no wrong call. Anyone should call at any point in time if they feel like they need support, if they feel like they need assistance, if they're worried about a loved one that may need support and assistance. So there's really no wrong call. You just simply dial 988. Here in Johnson County, that number comes to Johnson County Mental Health Center. We are the 988 call center for Johnson County. And we understand the community, we understand the resources, and so we can kind of be that gateway to help get people connected to resources. So while we've talked about the fact that, you know, we want to look at how we can get through difficult times together, a lot of times we're able to do that with one another. Other times we need to reach out for professional help. And so it's at that point, whenever you question whether maybe someone needs professional help, whether you're concerned, or even simply you just have a question about mental health services, you can call 988 and someone on the other end will be able to help you.
I am so glad that that resource is available. I know that suicide rates are skyrocketing. I know that it is something that I don't know many people who have not been impacted by that. And so I am glad that something has been created to give people a place to go for that. So thank you for the information on that. And I think that that was really wise to put that in these resources that you've created.
I think that, you know, when we talk about being able to help one another and be able to support one another, I mean, sometimes there's just situations where you yourself may not be in the best place to help someone. So the key is that, number one, it's okay if you're not okay. And then number two, that you're not alone, so that if you need help, there's always someone there to answer that call.
Yes, absolutely. I like that you said it's okay if you're not okay, because I know that, I mean, I know I've been in that space before. I'm sure most people listening have been in that space, that you know you're not okay and you really don't know what to do next. And having that resource is something that I think is just invaluable. So we've talked a lot about some like resiliency and self-care. And Kathleen, you've given that image of the full resilience cup. And I know it has some personal meaning for you and is another connection that you have with Johnson County Mental Health Center. Would you mind sharing this story?
Absolutely. This is a hard one to share because I do see myself. I've always seen myself as someone that could weather anything. In fact, I have weathered a lot when you come out of the kind of home that we did. Before November of 2021, I really was one of those people, when folks talked about self-care, I'd be like, I wouldn't say it out loud, but I'd be thinking to myself, are you kidding me? Have you seen my schedule? You know, my list of responsibilities, you have any idea? And so it wasn't really on my radar screen. And then November 2021 hit. And that year in March, I lost my mother. I was the executor of her will. She didn't have much, but there was a whole look back that we needed to create a lot of paperwork for an estate recovery plan. Then in June, my son was involuntarily committed for a, what we now know was an undiagnosed severe and persistent mental illness. That was very traumatic for both of us. In July, I lost my business partner of 30 years. And Tim had the pleasure of knowing Joel. He was in every way the father that I didn't have, as well as a colleague, a mentor, a business partner. And then in November or in October, I witnessed my husband have an accident that resulted in a traumatic brain injury. And all this time I was caring and giving and caring and giving. And then one day I couldn't hold up anymore. Luckily, I did send a text out before I did anything too dramatic, but I thought a lot about what it would mean to not have to deal with all this anymore. And that text went to Alice, Joel's wife, who was like adopted mother to me. And she reached out immediately to my sister, to another friend, Randy, and to Tim. And when Tim talked with me that day, he said something to me that really no one had ever said to me. And that was, Kathleen, you let your resilience cup run dry. And it was such an aha moment that reframed self-care for me. And I suddenly realized what Tim opened this podcast with. And that is, if I didn't take time to take care of myself, how could I take care of all the others? And so self-care suddenly has become a priority. I still have work to do. I still have all my other responsibilities, but I schedule it in and I make time for it. And I think about that imagery of having a full resilient cup so that I can help my son, I can help my husband. And what you've talked about, Amy, how important it is to also build a team. And so I have gotten better about that. So I have Tim to thank for that imagery. And I felt very strongly when I talked with my sisters about these materials, that that would be a really important image to share with the broader community. So not only that need to learn where you are in your regulation, but where are you in filling your resilience cup so that you take care of yourself so you can take care of others?
Well, Tim, I'm going to tell you thank you too, because I didn't know that story. I feel like kind of choked up right now. Because Kathleen, you mean so much to me and my family. And I'm so glad that you reached out for help. And Tim, I'm so glad that you were there for her. And I think that that is just a true testament to what connection is. And that in those hours of our deepest need, and when we don't know which way to turn, that we do have those people that we can lean on. So just, Kathleen, I'm so glad you reached out for help. And Tim, thank you for being there for my friend.
You're welcome.
I think for your listeners, I want to convey to them that it is okay not to be okay and to recognize it. I have lived my life. I had to live my life from age 5 on. I had a household to run. I had siblings to raise. I had parents to try to keep in line. I have had to be that backbone. And so when I ran into those 4 cascading traumas, I entered a situation that I had never encountered before. I've always, always been able to handle it. And so I want to share with people that yes, you were resilient. Yes, you were strong. And sometimes life does flood you. And when that happens, taking a pause so that you don't just go from that experience to a decision. But I heard Joel, my mentor, always say to me, Kathleen, decisions must include implications for them to be the best decision. I literally heard Joel on my shoulder say that to me. And so I want to give that to people because it was a gift that Joel gave to me. And so in that most desperate moment, I heard him say, you need to think of the implications. And so I knew that I needed to get help so that I didn't make a decision that was just based on that emotional reaction. So I share that. And hopefully, perhaps that helps a listener or two as well.
I think that is wise advice. And I'm so glad. I know how much Joel meant to you, means to you still. And I just allowing his memory to live on in that way and impact those of us with that, I think is just a beautiful way that you can honor him still, Kathleen.
Thank you, Amy.
Yeah. So you've talked about self-care and now having that be a really important part of your life now since this experience. And I'd love to hear kind of from both of you, because I know self-care means different things to different people. And so if you'd like to both like kind of independently share, what are ways now that you make time for self-care and make sure that that resilience cup is full?
So I'll go first and then let you wrap it up, Kathleen. But for myself, one of the things that after I became the director, I've been in the position for about a year and a half. And I thought, well, you know, I think I'll go fishing this weekend. And so I went and pulled my stuff out and I had not gotten a fishing license for almost 5 years. And it was in that process that I thought to myself, well, that's pretty bad. I haven't been fishing in 5 years. Mm-hmm. And so I found myself talking to other people and telling people that they needed to take care of themselves. But the best way that you can demonstrate that is through modeling that behavior. Mm-hmm. And so it's sometimes easy for us to say self-care, but if we don't demonstrate self-care, if I'm not going fishing, if I'm not taking days off, if I'm not spending time with my wife, listening to local musicians, you know, live music, then I'm not modeling that behavior for the others around me. And so for me, it really is finding those things that fill my cup and make sure that then I can demonstrate that to people around me. And, you know, Kathleen is she's one of the strongest people that I know that I've ever met in my life. And to see her give till she couldn't give anymore, that's when it's like, you need to maybe fill that cup a little bit. And so that's where I think each of us, and so for your listeners, I think it starts with us. It starts with each of us. It starts with taking care of ourselves and then building authentic human relationships within our sphere of influence around the people that mean something to us. And that if we do that, then we are going to begin to build our own resilience, but we're going to be able to build and support the resilience in those around us. And so that's how I approach it.
For me, very similar. It started in thinking about what cares for my soul. And something you said at the very beginning, Amy, and you have on your website, my aha moment in counseling that I finally started once we adopted our son is that I had been trying to fill the hole that was literally left in my soul from my childhood, from the outside in. And a lot of those outside in strategies were very unhealthy. And when I realized that I needed to fill that hole from the inside out, that gave me a new perspective. I didn't do a lot about it in my 40s, but when this revelation came, I realized that that's what, for me, self-care needed to help fill that hole in my soul. And so I actually spend more quiet time than I ever have before. So when I'm traveling across Kansas for work, I used to listen to NPR. I need to keep up on the news. I need to know what's going on, you know, in the know. I drive quiet a lot of the time and just listen to the sound of the breeze. I might open up the sunroof. I might just listen to the rhythm of the tires. I do that in quiet way more than I used to. I have a pup dog, you know, Mr. Mo. I sit with my dog on my lap every night. I have a ritual and he just sits with me. And then as Tim talked about connections, I've really pivoted and making more time for those young people, those great nieces, great nephews, actually nieces and nephews that just give me unbelievable joy to be around. But times I thought I'm too busy for, and I'm not too busy for. In fact, that's my most important thing I can do is make those connections with the people that I deeply and profoundly love. So that has been important. And whatever that looks like, it might be sitting at the camper in Wisconsin. It might be out on a mountain in Colorado. It might be that we go visit their home and I watch their baseball games and their horseback riding. So that's really been for me. If it cares for my soul and it helps fill that hole in my soul, then I consider that self-care.
I love the way that self-care looks different for everybody. There is no like one way to do it. There's not a wrong way to do it, I should say. So self-care for me generally looks like reading, and it is usually working out in some form or fashion. That is when I have the most joy. And then getting outside is another way that I do. And being around, just like you, Kathleen, being around people that bring me a lot of joy. As I get older, I realize that I need more time in my schedule with people that fill my cup and that I leave feeling like, gosh, I'm so lucky that they're in my life. And I need less time with the people who feel like they take all the joy out of my life, and that those boundaries that we've talked about a little bit are really important. Because if we are not taking care of ourselves, we cannot take care of others. And I think that usually we have to learn that the hard way. And I think that's a gift that the three of us can give anybody listening, is don't let it come to that, or try really hard to prevent it coming to that point that your back is kind of up against a wall and you have no choice but that. So we have talked about these materials, Remarkably Resilient, together. And I know that there are going to be people listening who will want to know how they can access these materials. Can you guys tell them how they can find that, please?
Sure. There are a couple ways. You can Google up Friends of Johnson County Mental Health Center. And when you land on their page, there is a support button and you just scroll down to gift campaigns. And their top gift campaign right now is a $50 donation which is tax deductible, to Johnson County Mental Health Center for one set of the materials, the journal and the two decks of cards. You can also come at it through our website, remarkably-resilient.com. And when you get there, you'll see a little box that says Remarkably Resilient Together campaign. Click on that and you'll see the big yellow banner that takes you right to Johnson County, the Friends of Johnson County Mental Health Center website. So those are the two ways, and it's all through donations. We are looking at bringing on nonprofit partners across the country. Our goal, my sisters and I, is to support those nonprofit organizations that help those that are most vulnerable in our communities. And so if we can use Remarkably Resilient Together as a fundraising campaign for those nonprofits, that's really our goal in how the materials get distributed. So through donations.
Awesome. I will put all of those links in the show notes. So if you want to have access to these and have this resource to support yourself and your journey, they will be there for you. Kathleen and Tim, thank you so much for coming here today, for your vulnerability and for your openness to help people of all walks take better care of themselves. I think that in these conversations is where the healing begins. And you've given lots of different ways that we can support and encourage one another on our journeys. And I just want to say thank you so much for sharing your light with my community today.
You're most welcome, Amy. Thank you for all you do to shine that light.
Yes, thank you, Amy. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Love Your Body Well podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, I would appreciate it if you would leave a rating and review and let me know what resonated with you the most. This helps more people connect to the show and allows me to continue encouraging women just like you. I love when you share episodes that impacted you on social media or with your friends and family. It truly helps spread the word of compassion and kindness that all women need more of. I invite you to continue the conversation with me on my blog, loveyourbodywell.net, or on Instagram at loveyourbodywell. Thank you for being here today. I know you have a lot of podcasts to choose from, and I'm honored that you listen to mine. This podcast is for informational purposes only and not intended to provide a diagnosis or replace medical care.